This evening, we're turning to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs, and the chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, and one verse in verse 20. There's a number of verses we could turn to, and we will look at them as we come across them in this chapter this evening. But just for now, Proverbs chapter 27, and the verse 20. And the Word of God says, "Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied." Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Amen. And we know that God will bless His word this evening. Now, when you come in your Bible and you come to the book of Proverbs, there's so many things that we find in the book of Proverbs that are relevant and are even used today. There are proverbs that are quoted today that we find in this book, and even people perhaps who don't understand that the things that they're quoting or the things they're referring to are actually from the Bible. And yet there are things that are familiar to so many people. The vast majority of the proverbs in this book were penned by one man. It was a man who was a king. His name was Solomon. And we read over in 1 Kings chapter 4 that he penned or composed over 3,000 proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs itself, 513 proverbs are named as having been written by Solomon. And of course, those proverbs have been given to him by the Lord, and they're under inspiration of God. And it is indeed the word of God. So as we have read, and as we read in the book of Proverbs, we're reading what God has said. Some of the proverbs are very practical truth. One, for example, Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches." And of course it is. Much more important to have a good name than not to have a good name and to be pursuing after so many things in this world. Other proverbs are instructional for us. For example, Proverbs 20 and verse 1 says, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and any man that is deceived thereby is not wise." And of course we know that that is a wise instruction, that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. But when you come to the book of Proverbs in the chapter 27 and you look at the passage that we, or the verse that we have read, it's part of a section of Proverbs that weren't penned by Solomon. They were actually penned by men who served another king. This was the king Hezekiah. And from Proverbs chapter 25 through to Proverbs chapter 29, all of the proverbs that we read were written by these men. There are 140 proverbs in this section. And we know that they were written in Hezekiah's reign. Hezekiah reigned approximately 200 years after King Solomon. And we know that Hezekiah was a king who wanted to see the name of God promoted. He wanted to see the name of God declared. He wanted to see the ways of God to be evident in the land. He was a king who sought for revival in his day. It tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 verse 26, "Because of his work there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem." This was a man who wanted to see God glorified. And these men have written these proverbs during his reign, because they knew that he was a man who wanted to see people turn to God. They wanted to see people follow after God. And therefore these proverbs that are written, they have great instruction in them. But the reality is that when you come to read them, there is such solemnity to the proverbs here when you read through them. It's not all sweetness and light. It's not all lovely things for us to hear. And there's so much that's said in the proverbs of what will happen to those who don't follow after the word of God, to those who don't get right with God. The reality is this evening, as we come here and we come to preach the gospel, that we come to point people to God. We come to point them to God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to point them to Him as the Savior of sinners. But you see, while it's so vitally important for us to lift up the name of Christ and to lift up the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's also important to make people aware of their sin. And the fact that sin separates man from God, The repercussions of sin, if it's left undealt with, the repercussions of sin, if man continues in his sinful ways, are not at peace with God. And that's what we find when we come to this chapter in Proverbs 27. There's three things that we'll notice in this chapter this evening. Three separate verses, actually, that we'll look at. But in this verse 20 that we've read, the second part of the verse says this. It says, the eyes of man are never satisfied. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Isn't that the case today? People always want more. People want more of this and more of that. People perhaps set their mind on a new house. And then they get that house and then they want a bigger house. They set their mind perhaps on a new car. And then they get that car and they want a new car and a bigger car and a faster car. It's not long before they're looking for more. Maybe there's young people this evening and as you're listening this evening, you're always looking for the next new thing. Maybe you're looking for the next gadget. Maybe the new iPhone or whatever it might be. Whatever the thing is of the day. I'm not in touch with what young people are after today in terms of technology. But I know that so many, they always want something more. People are always looking for more. The eyes of man are never satisfied. You know, the story's told of a farmer who had a lust for more and more land. And finally he heard about a situation where there was cheap land available in a certain area. And he sold everything that he had and he went to that place because he was looking for more. And he arranged, when he got to that place, what appeared to be a great deal. He said, what was agreed was that he had an agreed price. And he could buy all of the land for this price that he could walk around in one day. And I'm quite sure that there's many, if they were given that opportunity, they would take that opportunity to buy all the land that they could walk around in one day for a set price. So the next morning this farmer set out on his journey and he walked as far as he could in one direction and then he turned. And he made a number of different detours, a number of different directions he went to try and include extra areas of good ground. By the time he made his last turn and he had to come back before the sun set, he realized he'd gone too far because the eyes of man are never satisfied. And he ran as fast as he could to get back to the starting point before the sun set. And as he was running and he was aware of the fact the sun was setting and faster he ran. And finally he staggered towards the starting point just as the sun set. Too late. And there he died. And they buried him in a hole 6 foot by 3 foot. And that was all the land he needed at that point in time. The eyes of man are never satisfied. That little story illustrates this truth. But you know, as you read Proverbs chapter 27, there are three other truths that we find in the Word of God this evening that I want us to consider on. Because maybe you've spent your life seeking for answers. Maybe you've spent your life seeking for more. Maybe you're wanting more every day. Well, I want you to notice three things from these Proverbs this evening. I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 1 of the chapter, we see that death is coming. Death is coming. The Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. This is an incredibly clear statement that's made in this opening verse by these men as they're writing for Hezekiah. And it can be applied in so many different ways. It can be applied, for example, as a response for those who claim to be able to predict the future, who claim to be able to say that they know what's going to happen here or there, people who take this idea of prophecy upon themselves. Man cannot be certain about one thing in the future. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. None of us do. We can make all the plans that we want, perhaps at this time of year, and as we've been going through the circumstances we've been going through, as things are starting to open up a little bit, maybe people are making plans for holidays, Maybe you're making plans for what you're going to do in the summer as things free up a little bit. And it is good for us to make plans. It's good for us to be organized in our lives. It's very important. But here's the stark truth. There are no guarantees about the future. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Over in Luke chapter 12, we read the story. And it seems like maybe I'm being a bit hard on farmers this evening, and I apologize if it sounds like that. That's not the purpose. But in Luke chapter 12, we read about a rich farmer. And the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking. And it says this, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure toward himself and is not rich toward God. A man who was making plans for the future. A man who had it all worked out, and he was speaking about how he had prospered so well, but yet he wanted more. The future was bright. Future was wonderful as far as he was concerned, and he was laying up store for the future, making plans, as it were, for an easy life, but no thought of eternity. He was going to eat, drink, and be merry, the Bible tells us. But yet God spoke to him, and God said, thou fool. He was living as though death would never come. He was living as though he had no thought of eternity. And that's a lie that the devil will feed every person. And because of the pull of the flesh and the fact that the eyes of man are never satisfied, so many people swallow that lie, hook, line, and sinker. Do you know, every day for this past 12, 13 months perhaps now, the media have been reminding us about death. And how we've watched and we've heard the figures day after day of how many people have died and COVID has been identified as a cause contributing to their death. And we've heard it day after day. But the reality is for us that while it's so much in our minds and it's so much to the forefront today because the media are promoting it, death has always been that fact. It has always happened. And people are dying every day. And they're not all dying because of COVID-19. People die because that's the fact of living. It's an outworking of sin. But many people are dying without Christ. And many people are dying without making plans for eternity, without an eternal preparation. This rich farmer, this rich man we've read about, he was preparing for a future that he didn't have a guarantee of, a future that he never got. And he was ignoring the future that man will face. That future is eternity. Maybe there's somebody listening to this message this evening and this is you. You're making plans for the future. You're making plans for what you're going to do next month or next year or 10 years or 20 years down the line. And the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Here's the question right now. If you were to pass into eternity tonight, if you were to die, have you made peace with God? Is your eternity settled and secure? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? What would happen to you if, humanly speaking, tomorrow never comes? Where would you be? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth. Death is coming. But I want you to notice as well in the verse that we read at the start, in verse 20, wrath is waiting. Because it says at the start of this verse, hell and destruction are never full. Notice that. Hell and destruction are never full. Do you know, there's no possibility. What that really tells us is this. There's no possibility that you could enter into eternity and get a bye ball on the grounds that hell is full. that God will somehow turn around and say, there are no places left in hell, and I know you didn't trust in Jesus, but there's no space left there for you, so I'll have to let you into heaven. That's not the way it happens. That's not the way it works. The truth of this statement is this: there is a hell to shun. There is eternal wrath and judgment to be avoided. But if you choose to enter into eternity on your own terms, then you are choosing eternal wrath and eternal judgment. And you have no excuse if you're listening this evening, because as we speak this evening, we're telling you about the wrath to come. The Word of God tells us that we're to flee from the wrath which is to come. And the Bible tells us that hell is never full. Over in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And the wrath of God is set aside for those who reject Christ. And it's an eternal judgment. It's an eternal wrath. It's an eternal separation. There's no pleasure in it. There's no joy in it. There's no satisfaction in it. There's no excitement in it. There's no friendship in it. There's only suffering and pain and judgment, and it lasts forever. But there is a way of escape. And that way of escape is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who came to earth. He's the one who left heaven and went to the cross of Calvary. He's the one who lived that perfect life and went to the cross as a perfect substitute for sinners. He's the one who paid the price so that your sin could be dealt with. He's paid the price for you tonight. You know, sin is disobedience to a holy God. But sin has been dealt with at the cross of Calvary. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 and verse 9, it says, but being now justified by His blood, that's the work of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, we shall be saved from wrath. Let me ask you now, as you're listening, are you saved from the wrath which is to come? Have you made preparation for eternity? Are you living for today? And not ready to meet God? You see, the point is this: you have to accept God's gift of salvation. It's not enough to have a head knowledge of it. It's not enough to think, well, I know about God and I know about Jesus and someday maybe I'll get ready. That's not enough, because that's not preparation. That's just planning. And planning doesn't always work out, because we go back to our first point: boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You can't earn your salvation yourself. You can't buy your salvation yourself, but you must accept God's salvation and you must do it yourself. But I want to say to you, if you reject this offer, and it is a great offer, because who else would do it for you? There's no better offer that you'll get in life. Whatever offer you might get, there's nothing greater than the gospel. There's nothing greater than the work of Christ. But if you reject it, there's judgment and there's wrath. And it's eternal, and it's poured out upon those who reject Christ and enter eternity in that state. One old preacher once said, all offense against God will either be forgiven or avenged. That's where we stand with this. You see, the great and the almighty and the holy God of heaven has made a way of salvation for you tonight. He's done it through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you reject Christ, that same great, almighty and holy God, He wouldn't be a holy God if He didn't punish your sin. God wouldn't be God if He didn't judge sin, because He's holy. Friend, death is coming and wrath is waiting. But I want you to see that preparation is needed. Preparation is needed. Look at verse 23 of this proverb. Proverbs 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. So what are we to do to make preparation for eternity? Well, in this verse, it speaks about being prepared. It says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, look well to thy herds. It literally means to set your heart to these things. It's an agricultural picture for the farmer, and it's speaking about tending well to your own things in light of the passing of time and in light of the fickleness of prosperity, because things can be here today and gone tomorrow. In verse 24, it says, riches or strength are not forever. These things pass, and the things of this world pass, and the wealth of this world passes, it's fleeting, and health passes, it's fleeting, and strength passes, it's fleeting. All these things pass. And if we consider that death is coming, if we consider that strength and health and wealth and prosperity, they're not forever, if we consider that wrath is waiting for those who enter eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, then as the proverb here says, we must tend to our own future. And friend, listening tonight outside of Christ, you need to tend to your future. You need to make preparation for the future. How do you do that in a spiritual sense? How is sin dealt with? Well, maybe you know this, but I'm going to say it again. Sin has been dealt with at Calvary. Sin has been dealt with by the work of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus went to that cross. The Lord Jesus suffered the wrath of a holy God poured out upon him for you, so that your sin would be dealt with, so that my sin would be dealt with. And he died as a perfect substitute. He died as a spotless sacrifice in order that you would have your sin to be dealt with. Do the Bible clearly tells us that we're to come and confess our sin? The Bible tells us that we're to repent of our sin. It tells us that we're to accept the perfect work of Christ as the payment that we were due to pay, but it's been paid for us by another. How often does that happen for us, that someone else pays something for us instead of us? It doesn't happen very often, and sure, well, here's the free offer of the gospel, that the payment that you were due to pay for your sin has been taken and paid in full by another. Paid by God himself in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What do? To prepare for the future, you trust in Jesus. You confess your sin. You set your heart to seek Christ and know him as your Savior. Over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the question remains for you this evening, have you come to Jesus? Have you made preparation because death is coming? Have you made preparation because wrath is waiting? In Amos chapter 4 and verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Have you prepared to meet God? I trust that you have. I trust that your sin has been dealt with. But let me say to you tonight, as you're here, or maybe even as someone is walking by and is in earshot, if you haven't made preparation and you want to speak to any of us about these things, please do so. We're willing to talk to you about it. We'll be here for a while afterwards. Please don't go away. Don't pass by without making preparation for eternity and getting right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ.